Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and our conversation today is with Ann Brown, Chairman, U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission. Does CPSC have any methods in place to reward excellence in product safety on the part of private companies?
Yes, we certainly do. Very early on, when I first got to the agency, I initiated something called the Chairman's Commendation. And we've given 20 of them for special contributions to safety on the part of companies. For example, Procter & Gamble, who came out with the first senior-friendly child-resistant cap for children, so that children still can't get into the medicine, but it's easier for adults to open. You know, when you go to, you have a headache in the middle of the night and you get a worse headache because you can't open the bottle. But now they're easier for adults to open, but still child safe. But the nice thing is that Procter & Gamble did this first, ahead of other companies. And that's what we're looking for, a company that does something ahead of when the government makes them do it or ahead of their competitors. We gave another award to Toys R Us for their safety toy testing program that was so exemplary. So over the 7 years, we've given 20 of those awards, and they are highly coveted, and we like to encourage good behavior.
How does CPSC determine that regulation is the best solution for a consumer safety issue?
Well, as I said, we like to work voluntarily with industry whenever we can. Most product safety standards are handled voluntarily by the industry. We have done, for every one mandatory standard we've done five voluntary. And that, as I said, is the most efficient, cost-effective, and time-saving way to work. But when we find that a voluntary standard isn't working, then we can put a mandatory standard in place. For instance, bunk beds. There's a new mandatory standard that requires space in the bunk beds to be reduced so children can get their bodies through, but their heads don't get caught. And we've reduced that. But most of our recalls, as I said, are 99% of them are done voluntarily. We rarely have to go to court. And that is the way it works best.
How do you build partnerships with other government agencies, particularly those that regulate product and services?
Well, it's very important that government shouldn't be duplicative. It's not fair to consumers to spend the money if we're doing something and another agency is doing it. We would prefer to work in partnership so that you have the best use of your resources. For instance, we work on recalls of child car seat carriers with the National Highway Transportation Safety Agency, known as NHTSA. Or we build partnerships with members of Congress. We've done baby safety showers with them, or home safety checks. That's another branch of government. We have worked with EPA and HUD on lead paint in homes. And we've worked with Health and Human Services on child health and safety, on the problem of SIDS. So we will very often work with another agency as often as we can. FDA, for instance, which will handle a device when it is not a safety device but a health device, will give us the safety advice. They'll recommend something for us to look at. So we work close cooperation.
What are the components of a successful interagency partnership?
Well, the first component is making sure that you're saving the taxpayer money by working together and not be having a sense of turf and wanting to do it yourself, no matter whether it's done by another agency or not. You have to trust the other agencies. They have to be efficient and effective, and you have to work well with them. Those are the main things that you have to do so that you're giving the taxpayer the bang for the buck.
The CPC's and CPSC's involvement in and the results of the preliminary review of gun safety locks was controversial. What lessons learned can you pass on to other leaders when faced with this level of controversy?
Well, the first thing you have to do when you pick up on something that's controversial is you have to research it to death. You have to have it absolutely right and absolutely correct, because you can tell, if you have your ear to the ground, that this is controversial, but it's the right thing to do. And you have to make sure that it's the right thing to do and believe in it. And the best way to believe in it is to know that you have all your facts and data lined up perfectly, that you're not just making an emotional pitch. Once you've got that all lined up, then hold the line and do what is right. That's the main thing. If you know you're doing what is right, particularly with gun locks. We tested 32 trigger locks and cable locks from 10 different manufacturers. These are the things that lock the gun away from kids. And we found that in most cases, they simply didn't work. They could be opened without a key. You could open them with a tweezer. You could open them with a paperclip. You could whack them on the desk and they would open. This gave a very false sense of security to gun owners who were trying to do the best thing and lock their guns away from others who shouldn't be having them. You know, when you stop to think about it, controversy is not such a bad thing. It makes people think. It helps spread the word about a safety hazard such as a gun lock that doesn't do what it's supposed to do. So many, many people find out about it. We were A1 of the Post about our survey of gun locks and are going to do a standard about it. I mean, it's a tragedy when you think about it that there are 12 regulations for every toy, but not one safety standard for a gun lock. So controversy can be a help in building up knowledge about a problem.
How has technology affected your ability to interact with consumers regarding recalls and other time-sensitive safety information?
Well, it has been an absolute blessing and a boon to us. Consumers can get our safety information over the web. If they don't have a computer in their own house, they can go to the library. We put all our recalls up on the web. We also we can email. You can get on our email list and have all recalls emailed to you. We've used technology for the video news release, which is very important. Every TV station can pull down from satellite. So I think it's of crucial importance that you use all the new high technology that you can. It helps the communication enormously.
What advice do you have for consumers who want to become more educated about product safety issues?
Well, the first thing is to be aware of recalls. Be aware that they'll be on TV. They'll be on the morning shows. Look for them in your newspapers. Many newspapers have a column specifically devoted to our recalls. Check our website often. Get on our email notification list. And then check your home. Check your daycare center. Check your caregiver's home. Make sure you don't have a recalled product lurking in your attic or your basement. And also be cautious about secondhand products, both in the secondhand stores and in those garage sales. I always see people going to those garage sales to buy other people's junk. Well, you can do that if you want, but make sure it's not dangerous junk.
Do you have any special advice for new parents?
Well, the most important thing that new parents can do is to have a new crib. And even if you can't afford a new crib, when you have that baby shower, perhaps, or your friend, get your friends and relatives to get together. And instead of giving you all those puffy blankets and things that you may not use and those little silver cups, see if you can get them to pitch in together so you can have a new crib. Because an old crib can be dangerous. It can be repaired wrong. It can be faulty. The screws can be loose. It cannot meet all the current standards. The slats can be too wide, and kid can get their a little baby can get their head in it and get strangled. But with a new crib, we know all the new cribs on the market meet our safety specifications. So, and the other thing, of course, new parents should do is be aware of all our recalls of baby products.
I understand that CPSC recently issued its annual performance plan for 2001. Could you tell us about this plan?
Yes, each year we issue a performance plan that guides our product safety work for the upcoming year. It outlines the agency's activities that will help speed progress toward our goals of reducing deaths and injuries from consumer products. And we have several goals in that plan. One of them is to reduce the fire deaths in the United States by 10% in 10 years. You know, children are particularly vulnerable when fires occur. Each year, about 900 children under the age of 15 die in fires. And about 600 of these fire deaths to children are children under 5. And we are on track to reach our goal. Some of our other goals, reduce head injury to children by 10% in 10 years. Reduce poisonings to children under 5. Carbon monoxide, reduce deaths by 20% in 10 years, carbon monoxide poisoning. And electrocution, reduce deaths by 20%, deaths and injuries. And we are on track with our goals, but these motivate us. And we don't just use these percentages just to come up, pull them out of the air. These we take very seriously and plan to meet.
It's time for a break. We'll be right back with more of the Business of Government Hour and our conversation with Ann Brown.